In Tibet, as well as many other Asian countries, there are stories about a legendary kingdom that was a source of learning and culture for present-day Asian societies. According to the legends, this was a place of peace and prosperity, governed by wise and compassionate rulers. The citizens were equally kind and learned, so that in general, the kingdom was a model society. This place was called Shambhala. It is said that Buddhism played an important role in the development of the Shambhala society. The legends tell us that Shakyamuni Buddha gave advanced tantric teachings to the first king of Shambhala, Dawa Songpo. These teachings, which are preserved as the Kalachakra Tantra, are considered to be among the most profound wisdom of Tibetan Buddhism. After the king had received this instruction, the stories say that all of the people of Shambhala began to practice meditation and to follow the Buddhist path of loving kindness and concern for all beings. In this way, not just the rulers, but all of the subjects of the kingdom became highly developed people. Among the Tibetan people, there is a popular belief that the kingdom of Shambhala can still be found, hidden in a remote valley somewhere in the Himalayas. There are, as well, a number of Buddhist texts that give detailed but obscure directions for reaching Shambhala. But there are mixed opinions as to whether these should be taken literally or metaphorically. There are also many texts that give us elaborate descriptions of the kingdom. For example, according to the Great Commentary on the Kalachakra by the renowned 19th century Buddhist teacher Mipham, the land of Shambhala is north of the river Sita, and the country is divided by 8 mountain ranges. The palace of the Rigdens, or the imperial rulers of Shambhala, is built on top of a circular mountain in the center of the country. This mountain, Mipham tells us, is named Kailasha. The palace, which is called the Palace of Kalapa, comprises many square miles. In front of it, to the south, is a beautiful park known as Malaya, and in the middle of the park is a temple devoted to Kalachakra that was built by Dawa Songpo. Other legends say that the kingdom of Shambhala disappeared from the earth many centuries ago. At a certain point, the entire society had become enlightened, and the kingdom vanished into another more celestial realm. According to these stories, the Rigdon kings of Shambhala continue to watch over human affairs and will one day return to earth to save humanity from destruction. Many Tibetans believe that the great Tibetan warrior king, Gesar of Ling, was inspired and guided by the Rigdons and the Shambhala wisdom. This reflects the belief in the celestial existence of the kingdom. Gesar is thought not to have traveled to Shambhala, so his link to the kingdom was a spiritual one. He lived in approximately the 11th century and ruled the provincial kingdom of Ling, which is located in the province of Kham, East Tibet. Following Gesar's reign, stories about his accomplishments as a warrior and ruler sprang up throughout Tibet, eventually becoming the greatest epic of Tibetan literature. Some legends say that Gesar will reappear from Shambhala, leading an army to conquer the forces of darkness in the world. In recent years, some Western scholars have suggested that the kingdom of Shambhala may actually have been one of the historically documented kingdoms of early times, such as the Zhangzong kingdom of Central Asia. Many scholars, however, believe that the stories of Shambhala are completely mythical. While it is easy enough to dismiss the kingdom of Shambhala as pure fiction, it is also possible to see in this legend the expression of a deeply rooted and very real human desire for a good and fulfilling life. In fact, among many Tibetan Buddhist teachers, there has long been a tradition that regards the kingdom of Shambhala not as an external place, but as the ground or root of wakefulness and sanity that exists as a potential within every human being. From that point of view, it is not important to determine whether the kingdom of Shambhala is fact or fiction. Instead, we should appreciate and emulate the ideal of an enlightened society that it represents. I have presented a series of Shambhala teachings that use the image of the Shambhala kingdom to represent the ideal of secular enlightenment. That is, the possibility of uplifting our personal existence and that of others without the help of any religious outlook. For although the Shambhala tradition is founded on the sanity and gentleness of the Buddhist tradition, at the same time, it has its own independent basis, which is directly cultivating who and what we are as human beings. With the great problems now facing human society, it seems increasingly important to find simple and non-sectarian ways to work with ourselves and to share our understanding with others. The Shambhala teachings, or Shambhala vision, as this approach is more broadly called, is one such attempt to encourage a wholesome existence for ourselves and others. The current state of world affairs is a source of concern to all of us. The threat of nuclear war, widespread poverty and economic instability, social and political chaos, and psychological upheavals of many kinds. The world is in absolute turmoil. The Shambhala teachings are founded on the premise that there is basic human wisdom that can help to solve the world's problems. This wisdom does not belong to any one culture or religion, nor does it come only from the West or the East. Rather, it is a tradition of human warriorship that has existed in many cultures at many times throughout history. Warriorship here does not refer to making war on others. Aggression is the source of our problems, not the solution. Here, the word warrior is taken from the Tibetan pawo, which literally means one who is brave. Warriorship in this context is the tradition of human bravery or the tradition of fearlessness. The key to warriorship and the first principle of Shambhala vision is not being afraid of who you are. Ultimately, that is the definition of bravery, not being afraid of yourself. Shambhala vision teaches that in the face of the world's great problems, we can be heroic and kind at the same time. Shambhala vision is the opposite of selfishness. When we are afraid of ourselves and afraid of the seeming threat the world presents, then we become extremely selfish. We want to build our own little nests, our own cocoons, so that we can live by ourselves in a secure way. But we can be much more brave than that. We must try to think beyond our homes, beyond the fire burning in the fireplace, beyond sending our children to school or getting to work in the morning. We must try to think how we can help this world. If we don't help, nobody will. It is our turn to help the world. At the same time, helping others does not mean abandoning our individual lives. You don't have to rush out to become the mayor of your city or the president of the United States in order to help others. But you can begin with your relatives and friends and the people around you. In fact, you can start with yourself. The premise of Shambhala vision is that in order to establish an enlightened society for others, we need to discover what inherently we have to offer the world. In this book, we are going to discuss the ground of enlightened society and the path towards it, rather than presenting some utopian fantasy of what an enlightened society might be. If we want to help the world, we have to make a personal journey. We can't simply theorize or speculate about our destination. So it is up to each of us individually to find the meaning of enlightened society and how it can be realized. It is my hope that this presentation of the path of the Shambhala warrior may contribute to the dawning of this discovery.